Peak session number 10648, reel 8.
Mr. George Peak, reel 8. We were talking about your time in Sinai with the first 8th. Is there any, we were just finishing up, and you remember the time, one more incident you were going to tell me about?
Oh, it was when we got to where the water was.
Well, you told me once El Katia and once El Arish.
El Katia,
you think?
El Katia, we got to El Katia, and there was a lot of plum trees there, either date palms or something. And I thought I could get one, so I climbed up to get some for the lads, to throw some down, you see. And I got up to the top to start to throw them down, and the Turks must have seen me. And they started throwing shells. And one shell hit the bole of the tree and never went off. And that was how lucky I'd been all the way through. Well, it hit the bole of the tree and never went off at all. And the lads collected all the date palm, dates, whatever they were, plums, whatever they were. And I think that's about the only thing I remember now.
When did you hear you were going to France, and how did you feel about that?
Going to France.
Did you get much notice?
Well, we didn't know. We got no notice. We just packed up, and I didn't know where we were going. They never told us where we were going. We just backed up and jumped on the ship. We were away.
Had you heard about what the Western Front was like?
Did you think about it?
Would you have rather not gone, or would you? Or didn't you care? I mean, how did you feel about being sent there?
As I say, we were there. We just didn't bother about. I don't think we had any feelings left. We just carried on wherever we were. We carried on.
What do you remember about the journey? You got on the boat.
I think we were attacked once. Oh.
What do you remember about that? By a submarine, you mean?
We were attacked in the Aegean Sea. Did I put that down? When we were in the Aegean Sea?
Don't think so.
We were attacked in the Aegean Sea, and it was a ship that had a very wide veranda, you know, steps, what do you call them? We walk up the steps. And it wasn't my day. We had time, you know, when we were manning a machine gun, because we could all fire machine guns. And we heard these four blasts go. One, two, we're all listening, three, and then the fourth one went, and we all made a rush for these stairs. Oh, it was wide as this room, nearly, the stairs. Went up them, and the boats were swung out ready for us to jump in. But there was no, they'd either beat the submarines back or something. There was no, I think there was two fired, I believe. And they both missed. So the submarine must have pulled away then.
Had you practiced your boat drill?
Oh, yes. Yes, we had to practice that.
So you knew what you were doing when
We knew what we were doing. We knew we were all boats were allocated to us wherever we went.
So you knew where. Did you have life jackets and things like that?
Yes, we all had life jackets. Oh, yes. Yes.
And you don't. And when they had the alarm, you'd all responded according to plan then?
We knew where we were going.
So, as far as you were concerned, the boat drill had worked?
Oh, yes. The boat drill worked perfectly. It did.
Anything else about the voyage?
As soon as we heard one big buzzer go, and then, of course, they don't use buzzers, hardly. Not when there's a war on. And then we heard number two buzzer go, and we heard number three go, everybody listening. And then when number four went, it was all a rush. Up the stairs, and all very orderly. Everyone went and found their own boat.
So there was no panic?
No panic, no. The only panic that was in was when they all rushed to these big wide stairs. There was plenty of room to get up, you know. And they got to the stairs and, as I say, and got to the stations. And two or three saw these torpedoes. I didn't see any. But two or three said, there's one there and there's one there. But they missed anyway.
So then you went on to Marseille. Was that where you docked?
We went...
Marseille. You went on to Marseille's, didn't you? The port.
Port? Oh, we went on to Lyons. Near Lyons.
Sorry?
We got up at Lyons. We went through there, through Lyons, with all the French women giving us things, you know. And we were on that train for about 3 days or more.
What was it like on the train? Do you remember?
Oh, it was all playing these games, you know. Housey-housey. Well, it was housey-housey. It's bingo now. Housey-housey and all that. Smoking cigarettes. I didn't smoke them.
You'd stopped your pipe smoking then?
Hmm?
You'd stopped your pipe smoking?
Oh, yes, rather. Oh, that was an incident in Gallipoli.
You told us about it, yeah.
Tell you about that. Aye. Oh, yes. I won't smoke any more pipes like that. And then, I don't know when we got off and when we marched to, but we were at Perone, you've heard of Perone, and Albert.
It's on the Somme front.
Albert. That was where the leading Madonna was, Albert. I know I there was there was.
Did you actually see the leaning Madonna? And did you actually see that?
Oh, I mean, yes.
Did you know about the story at the time, or was it something that you?
I'd heard about it while I was there.
Did you believe it?
It was leaning. It was upside down. It was holding on by its feet.
Did you believe the story or not?
Oh, yes. The Germans had knocked it down, you know. Oh, you mean when they knocked it down completely, that they'd win? Oh, no. You never believe anything like that, no. But all the front part of the building was all down. And there was only a bed there. I could see the bed from outside. When he said dismiss, I made the rush for the stairs. Get up the stairs, and I was in the bed in no time.
This is in your billet?
Eh?
This is your billet in Albert?
It's like a billet in Albert, yeah. And as I stood up near the bed, and there was no, of course, there was no wall in front, and there was, just across the way there, was the leaning Madonna. I think they tried to fasten it up with the engineers with planks and all that, but the planks didn't hold it. It was just leaning over and being held up by its own feet, by as you know. And we went to Fuelers.
To where, sorry?
A place called Fuelers.
What were you doing there?
On Bullycourt. Just resting. Bullycourt. You were at Bullycourt. Oh. That place, we came out of Bullycourt. We went for a rest about 5 or 6 miles behind the line. And it was a lovely day. And there was trenches behind the line, you know. And we put the Lewis guns on the firing step. You know. And then me and another chap, we thought we'd get in the field and I was sleeping in the field. So we spread one blanket down, got down on that tunic underneath our head, and a blanket over us, you know, one blanket was his and one was mine, and over great coats over the top. But still I had our clothes on. And a lovely night, until all of a sudden it began to tipple down. Oh, it really came down. And I should think, before we get up, I think we were half drowned before we got up. The weight of water was rising so quick. It must have been in some sort of a hollow. Anyway, we got up. I don't know where my mate had gone to. Checked with me. And I rushed toward to the back of the trench. And, you know, I had my stockings on, no shoes. I'd left my shoes there. And I dropped to the back of the trench. My feet just slid from underneath me. And I went down. And where I went was in, there was a sump pool there. And I went right down into the sump hole. And over my head, the water. The water was coursing down the trench. It was so deep. I got out of there, and looked down. I was saturated. I got out and looked to see where my mate had got to. And I saw him when I saw a hut. And I went to this hut and looked inside. There was a big roaring fire inside this hut. And his clothes hanging all round drying. So I took my clothes off and bunged them down then.
And where was that? That was...
just behind Bullycourt.
Had you actually been in the line yet?
No, we'd just come past the line.
When had you arrived in France? Do you know the date? I should have asked you this earlier. Or the month, rather. I couldn't say
the date, really.
Do you know, roughly speaking, what time of year it was?
I think it was March. I know there was snow on the ground.
That would be March 1917?
1917, yeah. I think it was March when we got there, or February, or January, I'm not quite sure. I know it was early in 1917 when we got there. The snow was on the ground.
And you were in the Somme area?
Yes.
Round Albert, yes.
And
what was it like the first time you went in the line?
Yes. In this on the Western Front,
what?
We were in the line on Abrincourt Woods. You've heard of Abrincourt Woods?
That was the first place you went to, was it? First time in the line.
First time in the line, I think. There.
How did it differ?
We only had one man killed, eh?
How did it differ from Gallipoli? Did you notice any differences?
Oh, it was very, very quiet. It was so quiet. You couldn't believe it was a war on at Abrincourt Woods. Although, mind you, the woods behind us, the real Abrincourt, we were in front of the Abrincourt Woods. The woods behind us were all smashed to smithereens, all the trees and all that. And I was ordered to take 4 machine guns out. I had to take 4 machine guns out and 24 men. And guard against the Germans from coming over to take our line by surprise because there was some engineers wanted to do some work there. And when they'd finished, there was a trench about 2 foot deep that we all went towards it and got inside that. And we were pretty safe there, to keeping it crouched down. You were safe there, you see. And this was, I think I'd been in doing that job for about 10 days, same machine gunners, same corporal, and that was me, in charge. And on the last day coming in, we all got down as usual, all by one man. And he must have got in it, he got in the trench, a little trench, you know. And he must have stood up just before he got into our main firing line. And the Germans all of a sudden brought a machine gun out on wheels. They started traversing with it. And they got him in his pocketbook, to his back. Killed him. By the name Griffiths. Griffin. And pulled him in next day. But we had to bury him. He was no use. He was dead. He no need to be like that, you know. He could have... kept down. There was nobody else, only him. And that was the only casualty, and that was when I lost my stripe, my promotion to sergeant.
How come? What happened?
We were being relieved that night, and they said, well, deserve a good room ration. So I don't know how much he gave or gave it to, but give it to Lance Corporal Pete. He'll dish it out. Well, I just, they were all messed in lids out, you know, and I just, they were like, come on, more. No, nobody would have any more. So I had plenty left, you know. So, well, I said, I can't throw it away. It's too good to throw away. And I wasn't used to rum, you know. Oh, I said, oh, I'm going to sup it. So, of course, I supped a lot. All the rum that was left. Before I threw it away. So, after the bear, I fell asleep. And the Germans had fired two big bombs fastened by a chain over and had lit in our trench and blew a damn big hole in it. Well, I fell down this hole and went to sleep. Of course, when we were going, they roused me up. And I jumped up. And instead of going along the trench and up through another trench into Abrincourt Woods, I said, come on, lads, to the machine gunners. Come on, we'll go this way. And I went over the top, the back, you know. That was like some insubordination for a start. And then when I got in Abrincourt Woods, we're in bivouac there, you know, in the straight up tents. And they come to wake me up in the morning. The officer, a fellow named Ben Plenty, I think. I thought the world, it was a very nice fellow. And they come to wake me up, they couldn't get me up. I was completely out, you know. Oh, it was on orders then. I was going to be a court martial, either a court martial or me sergeant straps.
They'd been about to promote you, had they? They'd been going to promote you, had they?
Yeah. It was an orders for my promotion to sergeant, and also for a court martial. So anyway, they stopped my promotion.
You didn't actually get court-martialed then?
No. No, just that stopped my promotion. And it stopped it for all the time we were there. And I know the officer that we got from London, we'd never been in the line before, he relied on me because I was the only one that was left of the old Gallipoli lads, you know. And he really wanted me, but of course I got knocked off. And that was really the end of it when I got knocked off for me. Because we were going into the attack. Oh, before that, an incident where we got another new colonel. Don't know what happened to the old one. This new colonel was one of those with the home team buttons down here, you know. And they said, they told me, gave me orders to take two machine guns into no man's land in a shell hole he'd spotted. He said, I think they're going to come over in a raid. From what I've been looking through my binoculars and I can see them. So we went over, that was 12 of us, and 13 with me. And we got our positions there, and we got this settled with the Lewis guns in the dark, camouflaged during the day. And then that night, the Germans came over. Oh, we've been given these very, very lights. In case the Germans all, you know, in the big rush came over, in proper attack. But anyway, these came, we thought it must have been a raid, because when they got near to us, we let fly, with all we'd got, rifles and Lewis guns as well. And I think they wiped them all out, none went back. So, then, later on, we were withdrawn from there. We were withdrawn, ready to go into the first attack it was at Ypres, and I can't think of the name. I've got all the names down.
Before we come to that, there's a couple more things I want to ask you about your time on the Western Front. You hadn't been home in all the time. Did you ever get leave during your time?
Well, I got leave. I had a tooth and it was aching like anything. I had very good teeth. But I went to the doctor and he said, sit down. And he got a chap on either side of me. And he got his toothpickers out. Couldn't take them there when a fella came into the tent, one of the lads. He said, Lance Corporal Peak there? Yes. He's got his tooth out. Well, he's wanted, the colonel wants him right away. He wants him in his tent. So I had to go then see the colonel. But what does he want? So he said he wanted me to take a draft over to England of 20 men. And they should have come back. So I said, right.
All men on leave? A draft of men going home on leave, you mean?
Yes, to England on leave. 10 days it was. 10 days leave. So he said, pick any conveyance that's going that way. And I said, any port. And I think he mentioned one or two ports we could get to from there. And I forget them now. But anyway, we're marching along, all singing and singing, you know, and all that. When all of a sudden, down the lane, coming towards us, at a right handle, like, we saw this car with French officers in it. And I thought, oh, blimey. Marched to attention, got them all marched into attention, and then when it turned the corner, came down the road, the car stopped. And it was Brigadier General Frith. And he said, oh, it's Peak, is it? Oh, well, he said, it's Peak. He said, I hope you have a good time, you know. Be careful and come back. He remembered me, you know, from Gallipoli days.
He told us the story, yes.
Aye. And, of course, we got away with it that way. Well, I told the lads to present arms, you know, and they presented arms to him and all that, softened him up.
Was he a popular officer?
Oh, very. He was a general. He was in charge of the Lancashire Fusilier Brigade, 4 battalions, and all that went to with it, you know. Oh, yes, very nice. Only little fellow. And, of course, we proceeded to England then.
Did you enjoy your holiday? What did you do during your leave? What did you do on leave? How did you spend the time?
Oh, I had a girlfriend. Spent it with her, mostly. And visiting relatives, you know. All pleased to see me. And,
did they understand what was going on, what was happening to you and what had happened to you in Gallipoli and France? Did they have any idea what it was like, do you think?
Well, it's impossible to tell them really what it was like on Gallipoli because you've got to be there really to make people understand, you see. It's like living in the midden. Like being in the midden all the time with all the smells of rotting bodies, dead bodies, you know, and all that. It was, you couldn't really tell them what it's like on Gallipoli. You could tell them, but they wouldn't understand it.
Do you think, were they sympathetic towards what you were going through, the civilians?
Oh, yes, they were sympathetic. Well, I think so. Well, I'll tell you. On my leave, coming home, I had several French pennies and a girl got hold of me and she said, come on, I'll take you. I'll show you where you can get some money. Of course, they wanted francs, see. And I gave her some francs and she took me somewhere in London. And I didn't come away in London. And she took me to some sporting club. And I went there and they gave me £5. Oh, I was a millionaire. £5 those days was something. Gave me £5. Of course, that was out of my own cash, I suppose. And I'm coming back and a chap got hold of me. He said, are you from Manchester? I said, yes. Oh, I said, come with me. Come and have dinner with me. And we went and had a slip-up dinner. But before I got him, I was walking along, my pack on my back, you know, and my sailor net strung to it. And the girl said, look behind you, look out behind you. And I twisted round, you know, my pack. And I said, sorry, and it was Churchill. It was Mr. Churchill. Oh, very sorry, I said. And, you know, all right, you know. And he walked on. I was surprised to see him there, Churchill.
Anything else about your leave? Do you remember anything else about your leave?
No. Except when I got home, my brother-in-law had been killed, a flyer, by Radovan Circus. He'd been killed, shot through the neck. Of course, my girlfriend was breaking her heart over it. And mother and father. But he had, they'd been out, he was an observer. I'd have been out in it, and I think it was Ritterman Circus. They used to have 50 of the very famous flyers kept together, and they used to dot on one or two when they could get a chance down them. Well, they hit my brother-in-law in the neck, and the pilot brought him safely down, but he died when he got on the ground.
When you got back to France, did you notice, what was the fighting different? Did you notice if there was more artillery fire generally, not just that you, I mean, you were in one quiet sector, but did you notice differences in, say, the amount of artillery?
Yes. There was more artillery, of course, in France. There was in Gallipoli. There wasn't a lot of artillery in Gallipoli. Not a lot. It was more rifle fire. It was all rifle fire, in fact. On the 4th of June, I don't ever remember seeing an artillery piece fired or a shell fired.
What about gas? That must have been new to you. Did you have... Were you ever in any gas?
I never saw gas. We had
on
gas
the Western mass. Front, I mean. In France, I mean.
In France. No. We had these gas masks put... When I got there in 1917, there was no gas then. No gas.
You never came into contact with it?
Not then.
So, is anything else you remember? Before we went up to Ypres, and you were wounded at Ypres on, I think, was it the 3rd of September? In September, anyway.
September, I was wounded, yeah.
Do you remember anything else before we get to that? You'd be going up to join we were going over
on the first... on the first line of infantry, you know, when they stopped dropping the shells, they were dropping the shells for 3 days, you know, and nights, and continually going over, and then we were jumping up and going over.
What do you remember about that?
Well, going to sleep very nearly, and then when we got up to jump over, a shell came and knocked me out right away. Knocked me flat. And my other two more of my section, one got it in the stomach, named Buckley, and Grant got his foot blown off. A shiver of the shell must have come in at his foot and cut right through it. Oh, I don't know where he went on. But I think Buckler lived, I'm not quite sure. Well, it was only me.
You were caught by a shell. And this was near the Menin Road, was it?
You remember what?
Was it near the Menin Road? You were trying to remember where
Yes, on the Menin Road. It wasn't here. It was on the Menin Road.
Near Zonnybeck.
We were on the Menin Road. We were going up the Menin Road. And and I think the shell dropped on the main road. There were some very, very deep shell holes there, you know, where these coal boxes had let. And there was half full of water. And it blew me over. And I scrabbled along until I got into one of these big shell holes. And I was on...